Blog Talk Radio.
Quantity and no quality will be dissipated.
They call the passage of this bill Armageddon. Armageddon. And the freedom is
everybody, it's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I'll be your host, Ron Golden, and I see we lost Miss Kyra. Hopefully she'll be back, and we've got Doc and Miss Linda in the chat room, and I believe I've got Robert on the phone. Robert, how are you, sir?
How are you, Ron Golden?
Well, I'm doing well, other than a few ailments here and there, but nothing that I should complain about, I guess.
Are you... At least you don't have, like, a toothache like I do.
Well, you know, that's true. I've got a bursitis or something in my shoulder that's killing me.
That's because you've been working out too much.
Now, you know, Robert, I did hear a story about a Jewish guy, and I was hoping that wasn't you, down in Florida, that was making wallops with foreskins. It said the only problem was if you rubbed them, they turned into a briefcase.
Turned into what?
A briefcase.
I think you're becoming a KKK.
A KKK. What would that be?
I think you're becoming a Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, man, don't say that too loud. You'll have the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, tracking me online.
Oh, my God. I'll give you the business.
Well, you know, what is there to talk about today in the news, quite honestly? Let's see, we've got the London Olympics. That's like the who cares event of the century. We've got some former military who was in PSYOPs going nuts and shooting a bunch of Sikhs at a temple up in Wisconsin.
Michigan.
No, Wisconsin.
Was it Wisconsin?
It was Wisconsin.
That's good.
And,
was
you know...
Was that your Michael Beckman?
No, Michael is in Michigan. Michael's in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. But, you know, We talk about these people that go off kilter, and, you know, of all the people that this guy could go after, I have a customer who's a Sikh, and they're very dear, sweet people. They don't have a mean bone in their bodies. They're very devout, very pleasant people. And they dislike Muslims probably more than most Americans do. So, you know, if he thought he was going after some Muslims, he really was whacked in the head. But I just don't get
well,
it.
You, let me explain something to you. I saw your email last night. It really bothered me. It bothered me to no end, and I feel like you really. I feel you have a lot of anger right now. You want to seek the truth. No, there's no truth to seek. We are who we are, man. Let it go.
I understand that. You know, the truth is the truth.
The truth is the truth. Just let it go, man. We have our own beliefs. We have our own faith. We have our power of whoever the all omniscient power is. Let it go. Let me tell you why I'm saying this. Because I don't know how long I have to live, man. You understand?
Well, you know, I don't either. I don't think any of us do.
Yeah, but you know, you don't seem to not understand my condition. Okay? God picked on my class for the past 4 months. I lost 4 high school buddies in 4 years. I could be next.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. We are who we are. We've been on this earth for how many years? Okay? Enough's enough. Let it go. I play with you, man. I love you, man. I don't want to lose you as a friend.
You're not going to lose me as a friend, Robert. How would that happen? No.
I don't know. I just feel like you just have this animosity, you know. There's no reason to have any animosity towards no one anymore. This is my motto for life from now on. Everybody on this earth has a right to control their own destiny.
Sure, I believe that.
Okay, and you make it what you make of it. You make it what you make of your life. We all worked hard for our money. We busted our holes for whatever we did in our lifetime. I feel bad for you because you got grandkids, you got children. I wasn't lucky enough to experience that life. I can't control that. It wasn't in my cards. But what I'm trying to explain to patriot families is this. You don't know. You can wake up tomorrow and you could be 6 feet under the next day.
Sure.
I
hope I don't wake up dead tomorrow. That would be bad.
Well, that's why I called tonight. Because I had to get a lot. I got a lot off of my chest today. I realized that no one can push you around unless you're allowed to push you around.
Well, that's okay? True too. That's true to an extent. That's true to an extent. I mean, you know, they can always put you in jail.
No. This is the end result of the whole damn thing, Ron. The whole damn thing is this. You only got one life to live, and if you can't live it to the fullest, then there's no sense of living. Period. That's the bottom line. We can sit here and rant and rave who's going to be our next president of the United States. How with the government? As far as I'm concerned, they can kiss my you-know-what. I don't care no more. All I got to do is worry about putting food on my table, having a roof over my head, and making ends meet.
You know, Robert, the government doesn't care about you either, as long as you send your rent check. As long as you send them your rent check, you're okay.
That's it. That's it. It's paying taxes. That's all it is. It's a game. It's a mind game. It's a bullshit game. Excuse me. It's crap. I don't care if I get kicked off the show. I don't care because my tooth is ailing. But the bottom line is, Ron, you only got one life to live. And if you can't enjoy your life, what's the purpose of living? And you know what? If you allow the government, if you allow the government to control your own life, you're a damn fool. Beat the government. You can play the game. That's all it is a game. I figured it out today. I renovated my whole house, Ron. That's why I didn't come to Indiana. You saw the condition what my house was in. Now I'm almost in a comfortable home. And if you can't live comfortable, you might as well be dead, period. And I advise everybody on Patriot Families, I'm going to tell one more damn time, and I'll tell you one more damn time, you got to quit smoking. Because if you don't quit smoking, you're going to damn die. Simple. That's the bottom line. And that's what? All I have to say about that. And I feel like Forrest Gump right now.
Forrest Gump, or you feel like Tom Hanks on the island when he had to use the ice skate to knock his tooth out?
That too.
Yeah, that's probably too? That's probably not a scene that you want to watch right about now.
Well, you know what this guy did? I'm so angry, Ron. This guy did a swipe on my tooth when I was eating some Leoni's famous beef stew. I thought I was seeing stars. It went through. I couldn't even eat. He nailed me so bad. I hate dinner. So that's another thing that what I understand about healthcare. Why the hell haven't they gone after the damn dentist yet? They can charge whatever they want.
You know, I can't complain about mine. I've got a great dentist. He works for cash, and he does a wonderful job. And I've been to a lot of dentists, and he is absolutely the best. So I can't fuss. I can't say much about my doctor visit today. I was less than impressed. My wife really likes the doctor, but I don't care for her much at all.
Oh, no.
You know, my shoulder is absolutely killing me. And if I sleep on it wrong, it's torture. And she was more interested in how much I smoke and whether or not I have guns in my home. I looked at her, I said, are we going to discuss my shoulder at any point in time during this interview, or is this just going to be about my arsenal?
This is what I want you to do. I'll cure you real quick. This is what I want you to do. This is what everybody's going to learn from now on. Ice is your best friend. ICE.
Got it on my shoulder right now.
Number two, I want you to go to a chiropractic clinic.
I've been seeing a chiropractor and massage therapy.
And ask them for some BioFreeze. BioFreeze. That's it. I said BioFreeze it. And don't use it for 6 weeks and call me back and see how you're feeling.
All right. That from Dr. Robert, I will do so.
That's from Dr. Rob. I tell you, that's it. That's bottom line. Just quit lifting weights. I know you've been cutting inches and working out. But lay off for a while. I'm in the midst of training for the Ironman competition. I got 12-mile bike ride down I got the three mile run down. The only thing I have left is the 450 meter swim. So that's it.
Linda was asking me if I refused to answer the dumb gun questions, and I told her I lied, sort of. And let me qualify that. The doctor asked me if I had any guns in the house. Well, I was in the military, and I know Mr. Bill Strong is listening, and I know he knows where I'm going, because when I was in the military, I was taught that this is my weapon, this is my gun, this is for killing, this is for fun. So at the time, there were no guns in my home. My gun was with me. And my weapons are none of her damn business.
Well, you know, Ron, the more I look at the news today, the more I see about, you know, politicians not paying their damn taxes or hiding their taxes. And, you know, we're sitting here working our butts off, trying to make ends meet, and we pay our taxes.
Well, who's hiding their taxes?
Oh, you know, Mitt Romney, Hillary.
Wait a minute. Because this is a conversation I really wanted to have. And, you know, God forbid, I'm not trying to be on the side of defending Mitt Romney at all, but how is Mitt Romney hiding his taxes?
I don't know. I don't know that either. I'm still waiting for the answer.
I mean, they're all fussing.
Sure.
All the Democrats and the talking heads and the, oh, God, what was it Mike Church called her today? Wasserman Schultz, he's got a nickname for her that I know Linda would love. Something about Frankendew or something like that.
are you talking about your girlfriend, Wasserman Schultz?
Holy cow. But, you know, they're all flapping about, you know, Romney releasing his tax returns. The fact of the matter is, that's private information. That's not public information. And, you know, Harry Reid and all these other idiots coming out talking about Romney's got secret bank accounts in the Caymans. Well, I got news for you. Harry Reid, if you know about them, they're not a damn secret, you moron. It's just incredible. As if they're trying to paint the fact that Romney is wealthy. Who cares? I don't give a damn if he's wealthy. That has no bearing on whether or not he could be a good president. I don't believe
exactly
that he can. I don't believe that he will be a good president in my estimation. I don't believe that he'll live up to the standards that I would expect out of a president. Will he be a
wonderful
president by the standards of the neoconservatives? Oh, God, yes. In spades, I think he'll be their next Jesus, you know?
Well, you know, give him time, Ron. I think this is what Romney's plan is. He's just waiting to give the Obama the TKO punch out knockout. He's waiting for the right time and the right place. And number one, and number two, I don't trust the guy as far as I can spin either. But what do you know for me? I don't trust myself as far as I can spin either. You know.
Well, sure.
I mean,
but I think it's well established. You know, like you said, it's a game, and the thing is that the agenda that's in place will continue, and it doesn't matter if it's Ronald Reagan or George Bush or Jimmy Carter or the damned tooth fairy in office, the agenda will continue.
Well, true. But, you know, the Tea Party seems like it's going pretty strong. I think they're going strong anyhow. You know, I think they're going to elect, you know, I don't know. But, you know, let it pan out. You know, the bottom line, this is the bottom line, Ron. I survived every recession. I survived every depression. Even when I was, you know what, poor, I survived every damn depression that we, recession and depression that we had. So what was different from all the other depressions in this one? And that's my question. I survived them all.
Nothing, because they've all been man-made.
Wow. Oh, you call it, you say is it global warming or is it man-made disasters?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what? What are we going to do? I mean, we can't. You know, now they're frightening people. They're frightening people about groceries, about the wheat, the corn, and everything else for that matter. Number one. Number two. You know, what I had to do for my own health insurance, I told you I was paying $500 and $99 a month for my health insurance, right?
Right.
So what I had to do, now that I'm seeing specialists now, I got a better plan. I got a better plan that was even better than my $429 a month plan. I got a prescription plan now, Mr. Ron. And that's something. You know?
Well, you know, that's great. You know, I've got a prescription plan on mine also, but that, you know, that's one of the fundamental flaws I see in modern medicine is that we don't actually treat the issue. We medicate it with prescription drugs.
Right. But
you know?
But they're treating my condition as seizure activity, Ron. I've had this all my life.
Right, but I think that's a little bit different. You're talking about a neurological disorder versus, you know, aches and pains and that kind of thing.
Exactly. But I've had this ever since I was born. They just let it go. They just never diagnosed it. I've had this all my life. You know, I basically lived 50, almost 55 years of misery having this condition, being labeled as a psychotic nut, you know, and as far
well,
as
I
I'm concerned.
I can understand how they got that clinical diagnosis with you. I you know, you forget we have met in person.
But you're the one that coerced me to go with you to have micro beers and get smashed, smoke a cigar with you.
Oh, man.
Hello.
Yeah.
I'm giving you the business, Mr. Ron.
We had a good time. We had a good time.
We did. You're always welcome. Everybody's in Patriot family is always welcome in my home. But my house is almost done now. I mean, now that I figured out how to remodel my house.
Well, that's
God
Almighty. I'm glad that you were able to do that, and it sounded like you were pretty worked up when you first started there. It sounds like you have a lot of animosity built up.
No, I do. I have animosity because there's no sense of people fighting. There's no sense of people arguing with their families. There's no sense of people not getting along. There's, you know, it is what it is. You know, if you can't get along with your own family, you know, you have differences with everybody else, differences with, you know, I'm just tired of, you know what I'm tired of, Ron? I'm tired of arguing. I'm tired of fighting. I'm just tired of just basically just, you know, I don't bother no one. I don't have a gun in my house. I never hurt anyone in my life. And I tried to get along with a person for 15 years. She didn't love me back. That's the bottom line. She just didn't love me back no more. You know? So, you know, she didn't love me back. She lost out. And you know what happened? This is what happened. After a year and a half of being separated, breaking up after like a 15-year divorce, she tries one last straw to call me back to give me a rough time. You know, try to get me back. A year and almost a year and a month, she tried to get me back. a day late and a dollar short. You know, I spent 15 years with that family, man. And not only did I spend 15 years with that family, not only was it an Italian family, Mr. Ron, it was a mafia family. I was living with a mafia family for 15 damn years out of my life. The Gambino family in New York.
Pretty crazy, man.
You know, that's enough to drive anybody that's enough to drive anybody crazy. And I don't care if they come after me. Let them try. They can try to kill me. I don't care. I never hurt them. But that's what I was living with for 15 years. How can anybody keep sane for 15? You know, Ron, when I look back at it all, when I was going through undergrad school and I finally passed the piles, just, man, I don't know how I'm still standing. I don't know how I'm still here. But that's the proof of the pudding. I ain't going down no more. No way.
I wonder if they played the song at Bernie Frank's wedding.
I ain't going down no more, man.
Oh, man, that was bad.
I am not going down no more.
That was bad.
But this is the life I was living. I mean, no one has a clue of what I've been through. I know you love to call Linda Miss Linda Tenacious Linda Sales. I must have a lot of tenacity. I must take after her. God Almighty. You know? And when I look back at it all, and I'm still standing, Ron, I said to myself, you know what? When you look at the movie Going Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield, he said, I ain't taking it no more. I knew exactly how he felt.
Exactly. No respect at all.
No respect. No respect. And you know, in the bottom line, the way I was raised, when I looked you into an eye, shook your hand. That's your word when you shake someone's hand. To me, that's your word that you're gonna be true to somebody. A handshake. That's out the window these days.
Well, we say that, but you know, there's still a lot of people out there that place value in that. I know Mr. Strong is one of them. I'm one of them. I take people at their word until they give me a reason not to. And you
exactly.
know, I think that's one of the problems we have in this country. We have long ago accepted that politicians are liars and snakes. We've come to expect it, and we accept it. And that's part of the problem. You know, I used to work for a guy, and he told me that people will do what you accept, not what you expect. And he was absolutely right. And, you know, I've said it a million times. We've got no one but ourselves to blame because we have not been diligent. We have not been diligent as far as holding their feet to the fire. You know, the old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Well, all the crybaby liberals that want handouts and want a hand up and a handout and you know, government baby programs, when they want all of this to be paid for by someone else, and we didn't put up a fight.
No.
We didn't fight back and say, no, we're not going to do that.
No. And here I am taking a semester off because my professors want me to rest my brain. And he should go back to square one, okay? Now, now this is the clincher you're on. Okay? This is the clincher of the whole thing of Obamacare. First, they ordered oxygen for me to re-oxygenate my brain. Okay? Right? This is how serious this gig is. They wanted me to re-oxygenate my brain. So, well, okay, come on, bring in the oxygen. No, they want to make sure that my medical insurance pays for the oxygen. Well, call my medical insurance company. Medical insurance company says, well, your diagnosis does not denote for you to have oxygen. I have the worst headaches anybody could ever have. They're killer headaches. I could die at any moment. Okay? Being as a man, I'm still standing. Bottom line, I'm still waiting for the oxygen. So what do? Well, you know what my oxygen is? A 3-mile run, and a 7-mile bike ride. That's what I've been doing every day for the past 3 months now. And coming August 31st, I'm going to do the Disney Marathon, half 12 miles. So, you know, just to say what's better oxygen, a tank or an outside?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, that's the clincher. That's where Obamacare is going to now. Right there is the handwriting on the wall. So in other words, they're trying to kill people. They already killed four of my classmates. I lost four classmates in the period of 4 months. So it doesn't matter. That's my point. It just doesn't matter.
Well, you know, you sound a lot like my father. He said,
he's
will
right.
It matter? Will
You're
it matter right. in 100 years?
No. I would have lived to be. I would have fight this thing, and I would live to be 100. Out of spite, just out of sheer spite. This is out of spite now.
Now, Bill said that, you know, since you're so short, 5 miles might be like 12 miles to us.
Bill, I would have come up to Indiana and rent a room. Just might come up to Indiana and just surprise him one day and say, roast a pig for me. I'm in that mode. What are you going to do with these two? What's the... I haven't heard anything about Ron Paul lately. No more emails about Ron Paul. Is he definitely out of commission now?
No. Matter of fact, I've gotten several emails from the Campaign for Liberty trying to make sure that they get all their delegates to Tampa. And, you know...
Are you coming to the convention or what?
I don't think I'll be able to. I don't think I'm going to be able to. I would love to, but not in the cards.
Do you need a scout to replace you? I'll be glad to do it for you.
There you go. Well, I've been trying to get in touch with my buddy Rick so that he's wired up.
Well, tell Rick to give me a call and I'll meet him.
There you go.
Seriously. I'll be glad to help him out. I'm serious. I would like to raise some hell at the convention.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate you missed the show yesterday. And, you know, I'm working on putting together a timeline of our United Nations involvement, I guess, and the programs that have been instituted and through the United Nations since we got involved in that fiasco.
Right.
And, you know, well, I did a thing on Reagan last night because Ronald Reagan is, of course, the bastion of conservatism, You know, he's the George Washington of the Republican Party. And any time one of the talking heads is backed into a corner on some issue, they trot out Ronald Reagan.
Right.
When they don't have an answer, when they don't have anything intelligent to say, they say Ronald Reagan, as if that somehow just fixes everything. And, you know, I pointed out that during one of the presidential debates, Republican presidential debates, Newt Gingrich did that very thing to Ron Paul. And, you know, I was just shaking my head when he did it. I mean, it's like, really? That's all you've got? Ronald Reagan. Well, you didn't support Ronald Reagan. You stopped supporting him. Well, and I thought Ron Paul gave a great answer. He said, I stopped supporting Ronald Reagan when he stopped supporting the Constitution.
That's it. That's the whole thing. You know, Rod, that's the whole nuts and bolts of the whole damn thing. They're just letting the Constitution rot to you know where. And, you know, we're losing our freedom. We're losing our freedom every damn day, number one. Number two, you know, not only we're losing our freedom, we're, you know, it's just, I've been telling everybody about the smart meters, and everybody's all wound up. I warned them, you know, I'm the only one that wrote the letter that I didn't want them, you know. And they're all up and roaring about it. I said, I kept on telling you, you didn't listen to me. I kept on telling you to write. You didn't listen. They didn't listen. They're now the ones being placed in my sister's home. One's being placed in my contractor's home. One's being placed in my air conditioning man's home already. They didn't listen to me. I warned them. I told them to write the letter. Did they write the letter? No. What happened? They have smart meters. Who's the only one that fought it? Me. Do I have a smart meter? No.
Well, you know, do you remember, Robert, back in the 80s when they used to tell us constantly that the U.S. economy was no longer going to be a manufacturing base, it wasn't going to be an industrialist economy, that we were transitioning into a service economy?
Do you know when that started? I can tell you exactly when that started. Do you know when that started?
Tell me.
1974.
Imagine that.
1974
was a magic year.
That's right. That's when it all started. I have proof for that.
And why is that?
I can back it up. I can back it up 100%, because I tell you why, because I took Problems of American Democracy, my last course in high school when I graduated in 1974. That's when the Industrial Revolution was coming to an end. My teacher said that, drummed it into our heads, that we weren't going to have any jobs, we're going to be jobless, going to college is worthless, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Why was
everybody
that?
Everybody thought it. Why? Because of the Vietnam War. That's why.
Well, I don't think.
The Vietnam War.
I don't think the Vietnam War was the reason for the deindustrialization of the United States. I think
it had a factor of it, Ron.
Oh, well, yeah. It factors into the equation. But stop and think about it. Why did it start in 1974? What was going on in 1974 that would make these people start telling us that we were not going to be a productive economy, we were going to be a service sector economy? What did they know back then that we obviously didn't know?
You want the answer? I'll tell you the answer. You want the answer?
Absolutely.
I'll tell you the damn answer. The answer is that back in 1974, I tried to get to the Army. I wanted to serve my country. and I wanted to be an Army musician. That was my goal in life, was to not go to college. I knew college was not in the cards for me, and I wanted to become an Army musician, be a drummer. That's all I wanted to do, was to be a damn drummer. That's all. That's all I wanted to do. Okay? The Army wouldn't accept me because they knew I was clumsy and I was too damn small, and I had a lot of health issues. They threw me out. The Navy threw me out. I tried to apply for the Marines. They looked at me and laughed. I said, go home. You don't need to go. You don't need to serve. In the meantime, the troops haven't come home yet for 1973 and 1974. The draft was still going on. My draft card was Class 1A-52. I would have been the 52nd person to sent to Vietnam. 52nd person to sent to Vietnam. Number one. Number two, my father says, you're not going to Vietnam. I promise you, you won't go into Vietnam. He sent me to Europe to take a humanities class. I took a college credit class. In other words, he used to, I don't know if he's making me try to dodge the draft or not, but I don't know. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But he tried to tell me, but I went to Europe anyways. And what happened in Europe was this. Kissinger was our Secretary of State. Every country I went to, France, Italy, Spain, Germany, Austria, every country I went to, Kissinger went to. I didn't think I was ever going to come home. I thought I was going to die in Europe at 18 years of age. And that's what happened. And that's the damn truth. I saw it with my own eyes. I knew socialized medicine was coming to a head back then. Okay? And then on top of all that stuff, when Congressman McDonald got shot down in the Korean flight 747, my urologist. Congressman McDonald got shot down. That's when it all started. That's when all the whole nine yards hit the fan right then and there.
Well, I hate to break this up, but I think we have Miss Linda on the line. Linda, how are you, young lady?
Fine, sir. How's everyone? Hi, Robert. And I just wanted to say,
Ms. Linda.
Good for you for getting rid of that smart meter deal. So did you write the letter?
He did.
I wrote the letter, Linda. I did.
Awesome.
No one else did, though. They haven't put one in my house yet.
Well, yeah, you keep telling them no. And then also, the only thing now, you got to get a good handgun, and you got to learn how to use it. And lots of ammo.
That's my last resort. That's all I have left, Linda.
I want you to take classes from somebody who knows what they're doing, though. I'm serious.
I got it all lined up.
Good.
Everything's in fruition now.
Well, what I did today was I've been a little busy beaver again today. The
no pun intended.
Don't start with me.
Oh my God. My Lord, run. I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap.
Anyway.
It's the medication.
The California Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association is having a giant convention in Vegas again, of course, this year. We were trying to get all of our sheriffs and people, like chiefs of police, et cetera, to go to this. And so I actually took it upon myself today and called the secretary of our chief here in Oceanside and asked the question if he was going to attend it, and she said, according to his calendar, he is not going. And I said, okay, thank you. So that answered that question, and it was quite disappointing to me. But the other thing I did was I put together the information that my friend Ken, Vista Tea Party Patriot, where I'm going now to this meeting, he has done research for several months on different graphs and charts and things that are going on in the city planning regarding Agenda 21, cap and trade, and all the nonsense. And it's like 15 pages long, so I'm going to hand that tomorrow in an envelope with a cover letter to Council Sanchez, who needs to know this stuff, and I want her to share it with the other council members. So, since you know, because I went to a kickoff on Sunday for Mayor Wood, who wants to campaign again and run for mayor, and his byline on his yard sign says putting people first. So I explained to her, I said, this information, you know, that has been compiled by my friend for months, whatever, I said, is vital to understand people's freedom, their property rights, and all the rest of it. And I said, if we are going to use the word putting people first, then our actions must match those words. And so, you know, I just turned their campaign slogan on their face so they know where I'm coming from, because it's imperative. So that will be on her desk tomorrow. I'm done playing. You know, I can't sit down and not tell them what they need to know.
I just got a great email from a buddy of mine. It's a guy holding up a sign that says, I don't need sex because the government blanks me every day.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh. Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Well, you know, if Robert, if you had been listening to the show last night, one of the things that I talked about is, ironically enough, 1974, and Ronald Reagan was governor in California, and there was a booklet that was put out by a group in California that was pushing what we now call Agenda 21. What they were wanting to do, what they were proposing to do, part of it, what Reagan was proposing to do in California, is go to what you would call a regional government.
Yep.
Getting rid of cities and counties and just having the state run the whole thing as a region, or maybe divide the state up into regions. And at the same time, of course, they were talking about dividing the United States into regions. And this is all part of an agenda. And the agenda is found in the United Nations Charter. And if you read the United Nations Charter, the long and the short of it is universal disarmament. That is disarming everyone in the world except for the UN, quote-unquote, peacekeeping forces. And, of course, the United Nations would provide your police force as well within your region, so that no one would have the ability to challenge the authority of the ruling class. And everything everything would go through, you know, an international court, and international law would rule the day. And what Ronald Reagan did when he was in office as president was lay the groundwork for NAFTA and CAFTA and GATT and other trade agreements, which subsequently laid the ground foundation for Agenda 21.
There you go.
And if we look at what they were telling us back in 74 and all through the 80s, is that we were going to be a service sector economy. And the reason they were saying that is because they had an agenda. And that agenda continues today. And the agenda was to use this group that President Reagan signed off on, a United Nations Industrialization. Oh, gosh,
UNIDO,
darn it.
UNIDO, yeah.
Yeah, it's UNIDO. United Nations Industrialization something organization. I can't remember what the D stands for, but basically the idea is that they want to industrialize third world nations. Well, why would you want to do that? Let's take a look at Korea. Let's take a look at Vietnam. Let's take a look at India. Let's take a look at Pakistan. Let's take a look at China. What is the big battle cry? Why are all these businesses relocating over there? Cheap labor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by hook or by crook, they're going to force these third world countries into becoming industrial bases So they can have all the pollution, and they can do all the manufacturing, and they can manufacture inferior goods at a much lower cost. And we will be the consumer nation, and we will be the service sector. We'll be servicing all the crap.
It's just
and how
evil.
Do you spell crap? How do you spell crap backwards?
G-O-V-E-R-F.
Park.
But you know, this has been a very long-ranging plan. This isn't something that just happened overnight, and it's been very incremental in its institution. And you know, I turned Linda and Bill and everybody onto a website from an organization that was founded in 1947. It was called the United World Federalists, and it was progressive socialists, basically, here in the United States that wanted to create organizations within each of the states to push the United Nations agenda. And
wow.
It's stunning to see the level that they were able to achieve very early on.
Yeah,
and,
you
know, Bill's right. He said it was being promoted prior to 39. The first promotion of it was, you know, World War II, the first outward promotion of it, or World War I, excuse me, with the failed League of Nations. And
right.
To my mind, I mean, when you read some of Marx and Engels' writings, it really harkens to what Marx and Engels wrote about.
That's part of their playbook.
Right. Marx and Engels, of course, wanted to get rid of all government. But in order to reach that end, they first had to develop a single government, a one-world government, if you will. They had to have chaos and anarchy and war to bring about utopia. And you know, there hasn't been a prolonged period of peace on this earth that I can find in our history.
I can't find it either. Pretty crazy.
Well, I think the bottom line that we should be focusing on is searching for peace. If we can't search it around the world, search it within ourselves, man. Because, you know, I had a rude awakening, and I don't know how much longer I have to live. And the moral of the story is, if you don't have your health, if you don't have whatever wealth you have, if you don't have nothing. I want to stress this to the day I damn die. I worked hard all my life. I worked very hard all my life for nothing. I just did community service all my damn life. So with the man upstairs, with whoever it is, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, whoever it is wants to take me, go ahead and take me. Because you know why? I took care of my mother and father. I buried my mother properly, gave her an army funeral. She was George Patton's right-hand nurse. And I don't I can sleep at night. And I don't have to worry about a damn thing, because I know I took care of my mother. And you know what? Two people are taking care of me, and you met them, Ron. It's Kathy and Leonie. And they're the ones that are watching my back. And those are the only two people I have that are watching my back. So, the moral of the story is, just chill. Just chill and enjoy life, man. That's all I got to say. Just chill and enjoy life.
Well, I do enjoy it, and I know Linda and Bill and the others at Patriot Families, we do enjoy life, and I think it's because we enjoy life, that we recognize that we enjoy certain freedoms, and we want our children to have that same capability and
we're
more.
I think we're going to have it. I believe the Constitution is not dead yet. You know,
I think you're going to see a revival in this country, and not just in this country. I think you're seeing, and I've said
yep.
this before, even as much as, you know, there's a lot of scuttlebutt out there about, you know, the Arab Spring and all these things being concocted and run behind the scenes. The problem with that is that, you know, those people all around the world, even though you might want to organize some little demonstration, those people, when they get a taste of some freedom and they've been oppressed for generations, they may not be able to put the genie back in the bottle, you know?
Oh, right.
And I think people are sick and tired of being treated like dogs by the ruling class. And I don't see that we've moved that far beyond monarchy, other than we've got a whole lot of monarchs instead of just one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to start acting like Ron. I'm going to start acting like Sam Kinison. That's my goal in life.
Really?
I'm going to start acting like a crazy mother. I'm going to act like a crazy you-know-what. I'm going to start playing the part now. Now I'm going to start playing the part. Because
wait,
I have to.
You know, there is a huge awakening, and, you know, there were people when, you know, about a week and a half ago, I guess, when Glenn did his Restoring Love deal, there were 20 countries who came because they want freedom, too, and they don't even know how to start a Tea Party because they don't know what Tea Party means. You know, they don't understand Boston and the tea in the ocean off the ships and stuff. So you know, and there a lot of them are very young. These aren't older people.
Tell them they're
like
not
Arthur.
Alone. Tell them they're not alone, because about 98% of Americans don't understand the damn Boston Tea Party either.
Linda, by the way, do you know how much money I've been saving just by shopping at Sam's and Costco's?
I don't know.
I quit going to Publix. I have tons of money. I quit going to Publix. I will not walk into Publix ever again and spend another $75 every time I have to walk in. I refuse.
Amen.
Really?
Keep looking for those bargains, man. I bought my week's groceries, plus I got a nice piece of fresh salmon for cooking for me and my mom and a bottle of wine and all the things I need for a week for $33 because I know where to shop.
Wow. Good for you, Miss Linda.
Well, that's what I do because I have a black belt in saving money, plus the fact I know how to cook, and I cook from scratch, so I don't have to get all that pre-made garbage food that's going to be, you know, toxic anyway. So, oh, yeah.
Wow.
I love to cook.
Oh, man, so we all do. I love to cook too, man. You know, it's just, I've increased my, since I've been shopping at Sam's and Costco's for the past 2 months, I've probably literally have saved at least maybe $700 in 2 months.
Perfect.
Seriously.
There you go. Well, go
you
to
know,
the casino and see if you can make more out of it.
What's that? I've been cutting corners here, you know. Finding out next quarter is get rid of my lawman and do it myself.
There you go.
And cut my trees myself.
Well, if you
really?
Save the 700, that's a pretty decent 9mm right there.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's like night and day. So, you know, I mean, there's ways to save. There's ways to beat the system. And
yeah,
that's
true.
All we have.
I wanted to say one quick thing because I was in the chat room when our friend Ron was talking about the weapons versus the guns. My dad told me that story because he was in the regular army back in World War II. And he told me that story when I was like a teenager. That was my dad. Oh,
yeah, that's true. I don't own any guns. I own weapons.
Well, you have one, I hope, unless somebody's taken it from you.
No Lorena Bobbitts around here.
Praise the Lord. Good heavens. Yeah.
Oh, my Lord, Ron. I tell you this much. I hope that Ronnie Romney becomes our next president of the United States anyways. And I believe he will. Because you know why? Because you didn't build that.
Because he's what?
Because you did not build that.
Oh, well.
Really? I listened to that soundbite probably the last time I was on the show. I listened to that soundbite probably 100 times. Nothing was taken out of context. He said it. He said it and he meant it. That's his ideology. He hates America. This guy hates success. He hates success, and he hates anybody who builds something from the ground up and to the top. He wants to break it down from the top down, top to the down process. This guy is a no-good, you-know-what. Obama, if you're listening, I'll be glad to debate you anytime, anyplace, anywhere. I challenge you to a debate. Anytime. This guy is just plain stupid.
Wait. Here's the thing. He's not stupid. I believe he's got a lot of evil agendas in his heart. But, I mean, I'm not judging his heart, but I judge his actions. He's the difference between Obama and the others. He's out in the open. He's a naked Marxist and a pan-Leninist. I mean, he's leaving no doubt in anybody's mind. That's just kind of my take on it, so.
I don't know anymore, Linda. I listen to this stuff and I just get amazed. I don't listen to it anymore because you know why? It's all repetitious. You can leave the news for 5 days and turn it on the next day. It's the same thing. You haven't missed anything. So why even bother? You know? Why even keep up?
It's like a soap opera. You turn on Hannity one day, and 2 weeks later, he's saying the same thing.
It's like a broken record on Speed 57.
Guys, I got to tell you, I'm sitting here reading this, and this bears repeating, and I think I'm going to put it on my homepage. Robert H. Jackson, the Supreme Court Justice, probably one of the wisest things I've heard come out of the Supreme Court in a very long time. The very purpose of a Bill of Rights was to withdraw certain subjects from the vicissitudes of political controversy, to place them beyond the reach of majorities and officials, and to establish them as legal principles to be applied by the courts. One's right to life, liberty, and property, to free speech, a free press, freedom of worship and assembly, and other fundamental rights may not be submitted to vote. They depend on the outcome of no election.
Wow.
Wow. Nice.
Very well said.
You know what? That's all we have to live for.
That's the principles that we need to get back to. When we have a judicial system that recognizes that statement as a qualified fact, then, you know, we've got... Wow, Linda is starring on a new episode of MASH.
Yeah, there's... I don't know. There's probably... It's probably the cops looking for some... I don't know. I'm in Vista.
You don't have a Sikh temple around there, do you?
What? I couldn't hear you.
There's not a Sikh temple in the neighborhood, is there?
A what in the neighborhood?
A Sikh temple.
Oh, God, I hope not. Here I am. I'm traveling without my weapon because I don't own a gun.
I tell you, what is the deal with all of these people being connected to some kind of psychological study or psychological programs?
Because when did we predict that the revolution was going to start about 4 or 5 months ago? Basically, we nailed it right on the money back then. Number one, number two. You know, I heard on this Sunday, he says, here it is now. Now, the moral of the story of what happened in Colorado, what happened this past Sunday, going to church, you know. Here are two safe haven places that people enjoy doing. And now it's starting that we can't even enjoy even going to a movie and going to church anymore.
Well, you're just not safe anywhere. Be afraid, everyone. Be afraid.
That's what they want. That's what they want, and that's what they want us to do. So, you know, I guess the moral of the story is that we have to go to church more often, and we have to go to the movies more often. Say fuck, excuse me, is, you know, I mean, what am I right
just
or wrong?
Just make sure you're packing.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well, just make sure you have a gun in there, and just make sure you're not acting like the Joker.
We're always going to have crazy people that do stupid things like this. I mean, you know, this stuff makes the news because the left wants to, you know, take our guns away from us, or the global elites do, whoever's behind it. And, you know, I mean, there's stuff going on right here in San Diego, down close to the border, nobody talks about. You might hear a blip here and there on the local news, people shooting people, people stabbing people, people strangling people. You know, there's gang warfare all over the place. Nobody talks about it because it's an everyday occurrence, and they have to use these big issues. Somebody gets their, you know, panties in a wad, and they want to take everybody's guns away. It's stupid, and they're not going to
do
it.
Right, because, see, the problem is that you have these individuals that can carry either a large-capacity magazine, you know, assault weapon, or just a single handgun, you know, that holds a lot of ammunition, or multiple clips where it's easily reloaded. And, you know, this is just a terrible situation that we're going to have to do something about. You know, anytime that we have something that we want to address, we have to bring it to the level of a crisis in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And when
right.
it reaches crisis level, then and only then does the government have to step in, because obviously they're the only ones that can handle the situation. And we saw this with, you know, the build up to 9/11 and what occurred after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
When you had Ruby Ridge, and then of course mm-hmm. we had Oklahoma City and the 93 World
sure.
Trade Center bombings.
Yep.
You look at what's transpired after that. All the quote-unquote terrorist plots have been like the Keystone Cops. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, the shoe bomber, the underwear bomber, the Christmas tree bomber. It's like, really? I mean, Ted Kaczynski had more brains in his little pinky than all of these guys put together.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know, and so they're never letting a good crisis go to waste, as Ron Burgess
said. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they're selling it big time, but... You know, it's been sold to the American public for decades and decades.
And we're swallowing it like fools.
Yep. And we already have regional government, if you stop and think about it. I mean, we do
mm-hmm.
have the SPP agreement that was extra congressional and extra constitutional. It was an agreement signed by the president without the approval of Congress that
mm-hmm.
basically integrates Mexico, Canada, and the United States. We have the Army Times article that I published on our website more than once, where we see the commander of NORTHCOM signing a treaty with the Canadian military to allow Canadian troops on U.S. soil to assist local law enforcement in times of civil unrest. But when you start connecting the dots and adding everything up together, it doesn't bode well for the American citizens. It just doesn't.
No.
And it's pure insanity. And they're mopping up the last few operations overseas in the Middle East and some of these other countries, these rogue nations that just won't capitulate and just won't go along. And, of course, we have a demonstration in Libya and now in Syria and, of course, in Egypt of just what happens when, you know, the people run amok and leaders are tracked down and murdered. And we're funding that. We're paying for it. Your tax dollars at work. And, you know, I ran across something in my studies that UNIDO and some of the other UN agenda programs. And I started, when I read that UNIDO or UNIDO document, their little constitution there, I thought, this is why, I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, if we did enough homework, we would determine that that little contract, our signing on to it back in 1980 when Ronald Reagan was president, actually it was signed in 81, that is why our Federal Reserve Bank was loaning $16.3 trillion to foreign banks and foreign countries because they're obligated to, our Congress is obligated to provide funding through UNIDO to help fund these projects overseas in these third world countries. So basically, if you boil it down, we are responsible for funding the outsourcing of American manufacturing jobs to third world countries. And, you know, sometimes it's necessary to go in and destroy all the existing infrastructure and upset the apple cart, so to speak. So we send in the military under UN resolutions. And I promise you, it's no mistake that this country has not fought a declared war since the formation of the United Nations. Every action that we've been involved in has been a political action. It's been designed to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to clear the path for the industrialization of the country in question. And you go right into John Perkins' Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And these things just go hand in glove. It shouldn't be a surprise. I'm surprised that, you know, I hadn't paid attention to enough of this to connect all the dots earlier. And all the dots are still not connected, but that's part of my plan with doing a timeline is to try and show the connection in these dots. You know, just pull it all together into a cohesive layout. From start to finish.
Wow. It's so diabolical, these rats. And it must harken back to the central banking and the Illuminati, whoever, you know, the Rothschilds. That's where I think it. And probably the Vatican.
I certainly believe that's where it originates. The banking scheme, if you stop and think about it for a moment, aside from the obvious, you know, how the monetary system works, is the other subtlety that I think many of the folks that study the issue have perhaps missed. And that is that what this banking system has done in every country, it has effectively taken out of service true wealth, true money.
Right.
It's removed it from circulation and placed it in the hands of the central banks.
Yeah, because that seems to be where it is. And then, of course, there's a handful of people who still have their wealth. That would be the Buffetts and the Soroses and the Maurice Strongs and all the rest of it.
Well, and there's a handful of countries out there that still operate on a gold standard,
true.
You know, at least internally within their country. and there were several that did not have a central bank that was part of the world banking scheme.
Cabal, yeah.
You know, and it just so happens that those countries were also the axis of evil countries. And you look at what Libya was doing, what Gaddafi was doing in Libya,
sure.
And what he was trying to get some of his African neighbors to join him in doing. You look at what the Iranians were threatening with their oil bourse, refusing to accept U.S. dollars in payment for oil, threatening to go on to a gold dinar standard. Hugo Chavez did much the same. Most Americans don't know that back in the early 2000s, Hugo Chavez demanded that he be paid in euros, not in dollars. And he dumped or converted $22.3 billion into euros.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and see, that's not a largely publicized fact.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama is emulating Chavez. Exactly.
Well, see, here's the thing, Robert, and that's part of the theater of the whole thing. Obama is not mimicking Chavez. And I don't want to be in the position of defending the actions of Hugo Chavez. I'm not there. I don't live in Venezuela. So I can't tell you what his actions are. But I can tell you what I do know of Hugo Chavez and the regime down in Venezuela. And what I do know is that prior to Chavez being elected, and he was elected three times, despite our best efforts, there was an oligarchy set up in his country, and there was an elite class, and then there was everybody else. And what Chavez did was try to give things back to the people. He nationalized all the oil fields, and everyone went, "Oh my gosh!" He also nationalized all the television stations. And, of course, we see that as being a really bad and nasty, evil, communist thing. But what we don't see is the other side of that coin. What were the network news stations? What was the news that people were getting in Venezuela prior to that? Are they getting real news now, or were they getting real news then? Or is it trading one dictatorship for another? And I think it may have turned into trading one dictatorship for another, but I do know that a large percentage of the people in Venezuela absolutely love Chavez. I saw the report. I watched the film. I can't remember the name of it now, but there were several guys in a film crew that were doing a documentary in Venezuela, and they just happened to be at the right place at the right time when there was an attempted coup on Chavez, and the elite class, we'll say the Republicans and the Democrats, okay? And I don't know, I guess you would put Chavez in the class of the Democrats, and the Republicans were the elites. And there were 10,000 plus people surrounding the presidential palace, and there was a counter rally group that was going to march to some local oil field because Chavez was going to nationalize this oil field, and instead they marched them right down the street into a confrontation with the people that were pro Chavez supporters.
Oh, wow.
And what these gentlemen captured on their video was a gunfight broke out. And the odd thing was that it didn't appear that anyone in the crowd on either side actually had any weapons, that they were pointing at one another and killing each other, but people were dropping dead from sniper fire.
Oh, my God.
And as they're filming it, you see these guys. Now, let's say they're on a street that runs east and west, and they're facing each other east and west. The sniper fire is coming from the north. And you see both factions, both sides, turning and shooting, firing their weapons up north, up this road north to where the bullets were coming from that were killing them.
Oh, my gosh.
When they filmed the local news reporting that story that evening, the local news didn't show it that way. The local news showed it that the pro-Chavez supporters opened fire on the anti-Chavez people.
Good grief.
And they would show clips of the very same gunmen firing their guns, but they wouldn't show the whole picture. They just show the guy shooting his gun around the corner of a building. So you don't get any sense of direction.
Right.
See? And then they show a clip of people falling on the ground with their heads blown off.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And it was completely contrived and orchestrated.
Wow.
So, Mr. Ron?
Yes, sir.
When do we go after Chavez and Obama at the same time?
You know, my solution is we leave Chavez alone, and we leave Castro alone, and we leave Assad alone, and we leave, you know, all of them. Just mind our own damn business. Why is it in this day and age that minding your own business is seen as isolationist? I don't understand that.
I don't understand it either. I agree with you wholeheartedly, Ron, because you know, that's what with it. I bought my own business. I try to buy my own. I don't get into anybody's business.
Right.
But a lot of people like to get into my business and want to know what the hell I'm doing in my life.
And see, I think that translates directly into our society with this whole ideology of homosexual rights, homosexual marriage. Everybody is worried about what their neighbor is doing instead of trying to conduct their own lives in a right and moral manner. Everybody's worried about their neighbor's going to be able to do something that they don't like, even if it's in the privacy of their own home. And our government is no different. If we don't like what Iran says or does, then we're going to threaten them and we're going to cut off their food stamps. And I mean, you know, we talk about, you laugh, but that's what it is. It's foreign aid, whether it's food stamps or military supplies. You know, the sanctions don't weigh heavily on the ruling elite class in those countries. Those sanctions hit the poorest people in those countries first.
Oh, of course. That's the way it always works out. I know you're running out of time, so go ahead, Robert.
I want to ask you one more question. One, you know how I passed statistics? I got this book called Statistics for Dummies. That's how I passed. Number one. Number two, here's a guy, here's me, I had a stroke, right? My doctor tried to deny that I had a stroke. Okay? Against my neurologist. The neurologist in Tampa at USF, they saved my life, thank God. Basically. Okay? Confirmed I had a stroke. Alright. Now that I have these seizure so-called activities, or violent headaches, killer headaches, suicidal headaches, whatever you want to call that could kill me. Okay? This is the moral of the story of the whole thing, because you're my family. This is the moral of the story of the whole thing. The moral of the story of the whole thing is this. When people think that you lied all your life for 50 years and didn't believe that you were having these headaches, and they thought you were having panic disorder, depression, and anxiety, and whatnot. Labeled me almost as a psychotic, which Ron knows that I am. I'm playing the part. And the part is this. I'm back. And I ain't going down no more. No one's about to tell me I can't finish graduate school. No one's not going to tell me I'm a failure. No one's not going to tell me that I didn't build that. No one's not going to tell me nothing no more.
Robert, all you got to do is just convince them that you're batshit crazy. You know, walk down the hallway, the streets talking to yourself. That'll do it.
And the moral of the story is, I want to be a stand-up comic. That's my next quest.
Guys, thanks for taking my call. I know you got to wind it up, but hi, Robert. Glad that you did the smart meter thing, and Ron, it was a great show, and thanks for all the great info, and I know you're going to come out with a great timeline, so you guys be blessed and have a great night. Thanks
Linda. Knock him dead.
Linda, I love you. Hey, Linda, we might be coming out to California to L.A. I'll let
all
you
right.
know, all right?
Go for it.
All right.
Right. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Bye.
God bless,
I love you,
honey.
Linda.
All right.
Ron, it's all yours.
And that was Miss Linda Sills. Robert, and thank you for calling in, too, sir. Always an enjoyable time when you call in.
I'm going to USF tomorrow for my reading of my MRI. And I just want to let you know that I was in seclusion because I just basically reevaluated my life since the last time I've been on the show. And now that I have reevaluated my life, I'm on to new and better things, and that's it. And that's the moral of the story. Just be happy and be peaceful and be loving and be kind and be generous and follow the golden rule. That's the moral of the story.
Man, you're sounding more and more like Ron Paul every day. Why can't we just follow the golden rule?
We're nothing but human beings on this earth, and we don't know how much we have left to live. But what I've been through these past six weeks, the moral of the story, Ron, is God loving. He came down to Cape Coral and visited me. That meant a great deal to me. And I love Frank Weekle, and I got to visit him too. I've just been very busy, and I'm trying to get my life in order. And the moral of the story is, you got to get your life in order. And I saw a great program last night. I forget the guy's name, but he hit the nail right on the head. And my last words to you is this. My last word, if I don't wake up tomorrow, my last words to everybody in the room is this. Find your place. Find your home and live peaceful for the rest of your life. And that's all I got to say. And that's it. That's the moral of the story. And if we can all do that, we'll be in a better place. All
God
right?
bless you, Robert. Thanks for calling, sir.
All right, sir. Love you.
All right, everybody. That's going to wrap us up for tonight. Please tune in tomorrow night for Mr. Bill Strong and Hollis Buchanan at 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio, Patriot Families. And then tune in for Miss Terry Rowland on Thursday. But don't forget Miss Linda Sills. God bless everybody. Good night.